Hi there. I'm Bunny Terry, and you're listening to the I Love New Mexico podcast. Whether you're a native New Mexican who's lived here for your entire life, or you're just considering a visit, this episode is for you. Join us as we share a lot of New Mexico stories, talk about all things New Mexico, and include topics like what's magical here, where you ought to visit, what's happening, and the things you absolutely cannot miss in the land of enchantment. We're excited that you're here, and we can't wait to show you what an amazing place New Mexico is, because let's face it, I love New Mexico. We have such a special guest today. Lori Colt is joining us, and she is with an organization that serves certainly one of my favorite segments of the population, and that is women in the arts in New Mexico. So Lori, rather than me try to explain to folks who you are and who you're affiliated with and what your organization does, tell us.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. I am a volunteer with the New Mexico State Committee for the National Museum of Women in the Arts. And that they are located in Washington, D.C. And we are a state committee. There's about somewhere between 25 and 30 committees that represent this national museum throughout the world, actually. It was the first museum dedicated solely to women's art. And it was started by this lovely woman in Washington, D.C., who in the 1970s with an art background started traveling around Europe with her husband and started collecting women's art. And she was really realizing as she was doing background study that so many women were sort of ignored through history with our art contributions. So she started collecting, and by the 80s, she had amassed about 500 pieces. And so with a lot of support from friends, she ended up opening her home sort of as a museum and allowed people to come see this artwork. And then she was encouraged by the National Endowment of the Arts to consider opening a true museum in Washington, D.C., which she did. It opened its doors in 1987. And then 10 years later, along comes the New Mexico State Committee as one of the committees. And our charter is to support women in this state, elevate them, make sure they're being recognized for their art and their contribution. And I pleasure and delight in being a volunteer and doing the Instagram. So we've seen the Instagram page grow from like 250 followers to 1500 now. And people are so excited, and we're sharing, you know, posts of what we're working on and events. And so it's really quite delightful.
Well, so we'll put a link to that Instagram account, but what is your handle?
It is New Mexico Women in the Arts.
Wow.
And that is also the website as well.
What a great title. I know you just had a really interesting event at the Governor's Mansion. Several of my friends were there, and so tell us what that was about, because that was a milestone.
Yes, it was. That was celebrating our 25th anniversary of supporting New Mexico women as a part of this national organization. And so we were blessed to have Tanya Turner Carroll introduce Judy Chicago. So
wow.
Both are these phenomenal, I know, these this crazy kick-ass kind of ladies that are supporting and making art. So and in fact, I actually just uploaded the video from that onto our Instagram page just a couple of days ago, so that people that were not able to attend, because it was a limited number of people that could go, so people that weren't able to attend can actually watch and hear what was said. And the other thing that happened at that event was our governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, had announced that October 14th, which was our anniversary party date, is National Women in the Arts Day for New Mexico. So it'll be honored into perpetuity every year on October 14th, which is really pretty cool.
Nice. Well, and there may be listeners who are thinking, well, yeah, well, we know, I mean, women in the arts get, you know, they get recognition. They, you know, they can sell their pieces anywhere, but that's, I mean, you've really helped make great strides and offered them, as I understand it, some tools that maybe, female artists don't have on their own. Let's hear a little bit about what you've accomplished for women artists and what you're still doing. What do you offer that they can't get elsewhere?
Well, I think what we're trying to really do is elevate women artists and make sure that they're being seen. And so one of the things we do with our membership is we provide tours of various artists' studios. We've had some talks. I think COVID has put some kind of a little, you know, what do I want to say, like a wrench into some of that. But I think we're coming back with that. Mm-hmm. And we also offer, when women join our organization, it's very inexpensive. It's $50 a year. Wow. You actually get a web page. So we make a web page on the artist's behalf, has their bio, sort of their artist statement, several images, then links to their sites, so that when we promote an individual, because we're trying to go through and make sure we promote everybody and touch everybody, people can go on to our website, see their page. They can click on that person's website, learn a little bit more. And we also have a newsletter that comes out monthly. We have a wonderful volunteer, Rebecca Nolda, that does that. And you can submit to her events that you have. So like we have supported so many of the summer and fall art tours that have happened all over the state. And we're really wanting to make sure we touch the more rural areas. And so unless we hear about them, we can't support it. So it's really important that that gets communicated to us. So those are some of the things that we're doing. The one thing I guess I wanted to say is that, like, for museum collections, women only represent about 13% of museum collections.
I was going to ask you, you know, are women still horribly underrepresented?
Absolutely.
In the museum world? That was one of my questions.
Yes, they are. And there has been so much investigative reporting that has just come out, really even just like this summer, about it. And one writer, her name is escaping me at the moment, but there is a link to her on our Instagram page. She actually even found that women get paid about 10% of what men do in the art world. And
oh my Lord,
if you sign your work as a woman, that sometimes will diminish the value of your work, which is ridiculous. Yeah.
Wow. And here we live in a state where several of the most famous female artists ever have either worked or are working. I mean, Judy Chicago, people don't know that she lives now. She used to live in Galisteo, but she lives elsewhere now, right?
She lives in Berlin. In Berlin.
Okay. Okay. And of course, Georgia O'Keeffe, who just had her 135th birthday. I mean, New Mexico is the home of amazing women artists, female artists. I'm sure you have a whole list and I'd love to hear it. But I'm sorry, but that 10% number is pretty astounding.
Yeah, it really, really is. And so, yeah, we are really trying to, you know, support the national charter and just do what we can for that slice of pie. One of the things that the National Museum for Women in the Arts does, this will be the seventh time they're doing it. It's called Women to Watch. And what they do is they ask the various states that are participating to elect 5 women in our state, and they are candidates to become one of the Women to Watch for a nationwide exhibition. And these happen every 4 years. So we had our curator, and everybody's a volunteer on this organization. No one's getting paid. our curator was Nancy Zastadil, and she is an editor for Hyperallergic, which is an amazing online arts forum. They have do reporting and events and everything. But she has elected 5 really amazing women in our state. And then, so one of the upcoming events that I am aware of is in the spring, we will be hosting a public venue so people can see these 5 women and the kind of art that they're doing, because this next Women to Watch, the title of it is A New World. And so it's trying to look at the future. And so these five women have done more futuristic art, like what might the future look like? And so you can see a link on our website to the five different women, very eclectic group, very diverse. It's going to be a really great show, I think.
I was looking at that earlier. So what you're saying is that in the spring, you'll have some sort of a show that honors those women?
Yeah, my understanding is, and I don't know if the details have been finalized, but that CCA, so that's the Center for Creative Arts.
Oh, nice.
Contemporary Arts. In
Contemporary.
Santa. Yeah, they'll be hosting. Apparently, they did it in 2020. So now this is for 2024. We've already selected the five women. And two of them are from the Santa Clara Pueblo. One is an assistant professor at UNM. One is a very interdisciplinary performance artist, poet, writer, and the other is a feminist painter in Albuquerque. So phenomenal women. But yeah, that's my understanding. Sometime in the spring at CCA, we will be doing a presentation so the public can see their art.
Well, we want to be sure and let people know. And just so everybody knows, the Center for Contemporary Arts is in Santa Fe off of Old Santa Fe Trail. And well, I feel like I ought to get somebody from CCA to come on the podcast sometime because they are always doing something amazing
they are.
Over there. So I'm excited that you're going to be there. I mean, what a great venue. But so you are, I know you want to talk about this group, but I also want to talk about how you came to this. Are you, I mean, you're an artist as well, right?
I am. I kind of retired during COVID. I have a long background of middle management, procurement. I was in a lot of variety of manufacturing jobs. And then at one point, my husband and I moved from San Diego, which is where I'm originally from, to El Dorado up by Santa Fe. And I got involved in a nonprofit, environmental nonprofit called Wild Earth Guardians. And my position there evolved into the communications director. So I did that. I was with that organization for about 11 years. And then life changes, ended up going back to work in purchasing. But when I came back to New Mexico, because my husband and I kind of bebopped back and forth between California and here. When we came back, I wasn't working any longer. So I said, you know, I finally want to work on my art. And so that's what I've dedicated myself to the last year. And it's really been so much fun. But I wanted to get involved more in the community. And I really find that this opportunity to connect and use the skill set I had from doing communications and doing social media, that this was a nice niche for me to get into. So yeah, I raised my hand and started volunteering in June. And it's been really a lot of fun. I've met so many wonderful artists, men and women. That's the thing. It's not just about women. There are plenty of men supporters and we're so grateful for that. So yeah, so that's kind of how my path led me here. And actually, this weekend, I'm doing my very first art show in Mariposa and Rio Rancho. So that should be kind of fun. I'm interested to see how that goes.
That's exciting. And it sounds like you sort of like me, you can't stay away. I mean, you went to San Diego, but you went back, but you couldn't stay away. So
yeah.
Are you in New Mexico to stay?
I am. I'm a Taurus and I'm kind of one of those people that, you know, has the hand tendrils, the roots going down in the ground. And I just have such an affinity for this state. And I really think so much of it has to do with the fact that the Pueblos are here and the Navajos have been here, that it's just these lands have been so protected and they're so pristine. And I am so grateful for that. So I think that's the draw for me. It's just this gorgeous community. So pretty.
So if we were talking about, I know that you can't talk about your favorite New Mexico artist, but I do think it's fun for listeners to hear maybe where they, you know, I think if I'm traveling somewhere, I think you have to be a really special sort of tourist to say, man, I really want to explore the art of that particular region. And yet, And yet, if you're coming to New Mexico for the first time, I'm curious to know if you have any specific recommendations you would make to somebody, especially in terms of seeing art.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many amazing places and galleries. I mean, I have an affinity with the Turner Carroll because they have been so supportive. And I love their ethic of just being very diverse. Oh.
And let me just say that new space where they are is, I knew that space when it was Molecule, but just so everybody knows, the Turner Carroll Gallery is now over on Shoefly in Albuquerque, and it's in a container, a building that is, I believe, 11 containers or eight. I don't recall. I tried to sell it to somebody and they bought it instead, and I'm really happy about it because they're also really big supporters of the nonprofit that I'm the board chair for, which is the Cancer Foundation. I mean, they're just generous. They're just determined to give back to the community that they work in. But I want you to go ahead and talk about their gallery. You said you're very partial to them.
Well, I truly am because of that support. And I think they are really great. I mean, that whole Canyon Road and, you know, the plaza, so just speaking specific to Santa Fe, because that's where I've kind of been as of late, there are two that I really appreciate because I feel like they're representing very underappreciated artists. One is Miniatura Gallery, and it's this little teeny tiny gallery, and it is, what's her name? Her name is Mary, and I'm trying to think of how I would explain. It's on Water Street. 102 East Water Street. But what she does is she's...
I don't even know that.
It's adorable. All her pieces are maybe 4-inch, 5-inch by 5-inch. They're teeny tiny pieces that are very affordable. And she's really so supportive and lovely. So she's one that I really like. And then I love Fahrenheit. The gallery owner there, Gregory Farah. He owns this gallery.
Say that again.
Gregory Farah. And it's called Fahrenheit. Okay. And he does these really great exhibits. And he is upstairs off of the plaza. I don't have his address at my fingertips, but Fahrenheit, he did the Sovereign Santa Fe show at La Fonda during the Indian Market. And it's just contemporary Diné artists, Pueblo artists, a lot of indigenous, a lot of women artists. He supports the LGBTQ community. So I think those are the few I would kind of just say they're niches. People don't really know about them, I don't think. And I think they're doing great stuff.
Well, and I would say, and Lori, this may not be true for you, but for me, it was always, I always felt, you know, I would say more than 10 years ago before I moved to Santa Fe, but I always felt a little intimidated about just walking into a gallery. I always thought, of course, I'm not going to buy anything because I have to pay the rent. But I think I'd like to encourage people to, you know, I had been coming to Santa Fe for years and I had never gone to Canyon Road because I had in my head that I couldn't afford to look at those paintings. And I'm like, now when I think about it, I think every artist wants eyes on their work. I mean, that's the reason you do it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And you get it. For me, I go because I love talking to the gallerists. I mean, sometimes they're just bored waiting for people, you know, and
right.
And they're so educated. And then I get inspiration. You know, I just find it, it's something I do at least once a month is go there just because it's easy for me. I take the train up from Rio Rancho and it's very easy for me to walk over and, you know, I've kind of created this little route that I like to do. So, yeah, I definitely think that.
And I want to be careful not to just limit our chat to Santa Fe because I know, I mean, I love Mariposa. That's one of my favorite places. I lived in, you know, I raised my kids in Albuquerque. So, I every once in a while would get really lucky and get a Christmas present or something for some little tiny piece from Mariposa. But what a great gallery. What a supporter of local artists, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, the other thing I guess I would add too for great places that you have to go to, and that is down to Berlin to Judy Chicago's installation she's got down there through the flower space. and they just wrapped up the Woman House, and now they're starting the dinner party, like a redo of the dinner party.
I don't know anything about that place. Tell me.
Oh my gosh.
Tell us.
Jump on the train, go down to Berlin. The train stops right next door. It's a really great space. I've listened to Judy talk 2 weekends ago, I guess, about the dinner party and that they were bringing it back to the space. And I'm not quite sure of the dates. I don't have that at my fingertips, but you could go through to Judy Chicago's website or to Instagram or through the Flower Space. But the Woman House was great.
Are you okay? So are you saying the Flower Space?
Yes, through the Flower Space.
And what's the other one? The Woman?
Woman House was the installation.
Okay.
Yeah. And then now it's going to be the dinner party, which is basically a table set for all these women that were never really recognized or brought to the forefront of history. There's a place setting for all of them. And then the names of, I don't know, hundreds more that, you know, are underappreciated women. Yeah. It should be really fun. I love her creativity. She's an amazing artist.
Oh, I have to tell you, when her house in Galisteo went on the market, I showed it to somebody. And I at the time I was like, you know, I've always heard Judy Chicago's name, but it's one of those things that, you know, you see snippets. I was not a huge follower. And we went out to her house and I was like, this has to be the coolest person alive. The house just had such eclectic, but beautiful. I don't know another way to describe it except sort of oddity. You know, you'd go around a corner and you didn't know what you were going to see. It was so cool.
That's wonderful.
So that's when I became a fan.
Well, there's so much information that, I mean, talks, you can watch her. She's so down to earth and so approachable and just a very educated woman. I mean, I don't know. I'm reading this book right now. It's called World of Art, Women, Art, and Society. And I have to think that Judy had read the same book because it goes all the way back to like the 1200s when women were doing like illuminaria. So they were like little nuns, you know, painting Bibles and religious stuff. And then it sort of takes you through different periods of time. But it just gives you perspective on what women have done and the fact that we were doing like lace and embroidery and tapestry and all these things that were considered like women's work, not art. And I think Judy was very instrumental in the 70s of bringing that to the forefront and saying, this is art just as much as a painting is, you know, or a sculpture is. So I don't know. I have to think that she drew from this book because it's really good.
Now say the name again. We want to refer to that.
Yeah, it's called The World of Art, Women, Art, and Society, and it's by Whitney Chadwick.
Wow. Okay.
And it's pretty heady and it's pretty thick. But
it's going to be a cold winter. We have lots of we're going to have lots of evenings for reading.
There you go.
So you have this, you have a show coming up. Tell me when again?
It's tomorrow. And then I actually am participating in Echo Gallery's Regalos. That's an exhibit that opens, I believe, December 1st or 2nd, and it goes through January 1st or 2nd. And that's down on Palace.
That is one of my favorites.
I love that.
Yeah, gallery. That is one of my favorite galleries.
Yeah, I felt so blessed to be selected. I submitted several works and I got 2 selected, so I'm pretty excited.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'm going down there to take a look. I mean, I could, I also really love Giacobbe Fritz, the contemporary gallery. Deborah, who I should probably have on this podcast, Deborah Fritz has been such a supporter of contemporary artists. Kind of way before anybody else in Santa Fe just dedicated their space to that. So, we could make a long list of places that people might want to think about visiting. But, you know, Winterowd, that's run by a female. That's a wonderful gallery. There's so many.
There are so many. And that's one thing. We are seeking somebody to do development. My understanding is we've just are bringing on somebody to manage our overarching communications and marketing. We've been looking for somebody to host our website or manage our website. We finally have somebody we're bringing on board, but development is something we really need. Outreach. I mean, I have business cards. I talk to people, but we really would love to recruit more gallerists because then we can help them promote their work as well. And, you know, there's perks to that. Their name gets thrown out there and we can show their things in our newsletter. So yeah, the more gallerists we can get involved in this NMC, that's our acronym for the New Mexico State Committee. We just call ourselves NMC, the better.
Well, and this is the hard part of being an artist, isn't it? I mean, you don't get to just sit in a room and create. There's the marketing piece as well. And the awareness piece, which it sounds like you help with.
Yes.
Quite
considerably. I really try to, because being an artist, it's challenging, and especially with the things that are happening in the economy. I mean, that's always been cyclical, but it's challenging to sell your artwork. You're working hard to create something, and then people want to bottom line it. And, you know, depending on how you're selling your art, if you're lucky enough to be in a platform, that's great. But some people have to ship their things. Well, shipping costs are quite expensive. Frames are very expensive. So, yeah, that's really a challenging piece of it is the marketing.
Okay, well, let's get to the really fun part because we're gonna put a link to the website on this podcast on the platform, and we're also going to let people know. You said it's $50 a year.
$50 a year. Students are $25, and if you're a gallerist or you know corporation business, we have a few businesses that support us. It's $150 a year. So it's so reasonable.
You are giving this away, which is certainly. I'm sure that's the model. But now let's get. I mean, I want to step away from the organization just for a second and have you talk about your favorite places in New Mexico, because people always love that piece. You know, if you could only go back to two or three places in New Mexico between now and, you know, the rest of your life, what would you choose?
Well, I was planning to do a plein air painting class that unfortunately got canceled up in Taos last fall. And so that would be something for sure. I want to get back up to Taos, do some plein air painting. I love Abiquiu. I love northern New Mexico predominantly. Although I have to say, I had the pleasure, I just turned 60 this year. My husband was so amazing. He took me on a tour on Ted Turner's Armendariz Ranch down in the southern part. It's kind of by Truth or Consequences. It was It was so much fun. We had a 6-hour private tour with a gentleman that is so educated on the terrain and the flora fauna there. And you get in this little Jeep and you drive all around. You see Ted Turner's buffalo roaming, and we got to see all kinds of critters. So if you ever had a chance to do that, and I believe that they do some bat tours there too, because he has bat caves there. And so I would say that's something for sure to put on your bucket list. And then, of course, you have to go to White Sands and walk barefoot in the, you know, 110 degree heat through those White Sands. And they're like cold. It's so strange, you know.
It is so cool, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
People don't. It's kind of nuts. And did you stay in TRC when you went on the tour?
We did. And we stayed at Ted Turner's. It's like a little resort hotel. I can't think of what the name of it is.
Something Grande,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah. The Grande Lodge
yes.
or something like that. Yeah. Yes. We stayed there. That little town is kind of cute, but I feel like they sort of close up early. You know, it's like everything's sort of shuttered early.
That seems to be a New Mexico thing, except for Albuquerque. I mean, you know, we roll the streets up here at 9 o'clock.
True. So true. That's funny.
Well, that's really cool. That's a great tip. I'm going to look up the Armendariz Ranch because I'd like to go down there, and I'd also like to go to the spaceport sometime. So that's a you know, do one day and do one the next.
Yeah,
day.
They've limited that? Those tours because that was sort of our plan. That this was back in May, but they had really changed it. They weren't offering the tours anymore. I think you could only do it like maybe 1 or 2 days. It wasn't like it's always open kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, Lori, this has been so much fun. What would you say? What's your best word of encouragement for somebody who's a New Mexico female artist today? What's your best word of encouragement for them?
I would say just don't doubt yourself, because no one has it figured out, and nobody has the formula for what is the right kind of art. Like, create what speaks to you, create what comes from your heart, because people can see that. And, you know, there's just so much diversity in the artists that I have seen, representational, abstract, etc. Do what speaks to you, because it will speak to others, and don't get discouraged by rejection here and there.
Wow. That's like good advice for life. Thank you for that. Lori, thank you so much for being here. And if there's ever any time that we can promote your group, let us know.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about NMC.